about 2 weeks now in the readings at daily mass, and with the weekend we have been reading from the Gospel of John in this 14th chapter and the 15th chapter. This is his Last Supper discourse. To put it in the context, Jesus is preparing to go to his passion and his cross and his death. And so he takes the time to speak to the hearts of his disciples. And it's only in the Gospel of John that records this long discourse, the words of Jesus before his death, recorded in the Gospel of John, that over and over and over he says this phrase, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." It's very important that we understand this, because he says it throughout this Last Supper discourse. In fact, I'm a little tired of preaching on it. In fact, because I've been preaching on it for 2 weeks, and you're all like, "Hey, this is the first time we've heard it." It's like, "Yeah, I know, but I've been preaching on it for 2 weeks. The reality is, this phrase, when we hear it, it can sound an awful lot like a phrase that we may have heard from our parents. "If you love me, you will do what I command you to do. Now go do it." Right? You ever heard that from your parent? Parents, have you ever said that? Children, have you ever said to your mom and dad, "If you loved me, you would buy this for me"? See, it works both ways. We put love out there as like this thing that must be earned by an action. That is not what Jesus is talking about. To put it in the context of Jesus, he is free. He is completely free. We have to understand this. I preached on this Palm Sunday before we went into the Passion and Holy Week. Palm Sunday, Jesus going to his crucifixion and death, he is free. No one forces him. No one, no amount of Roman soldiers, no amount of the guards of the high priest could have forced him to the cross. He was free. Just look at the scripture. How many times does Jesus walk away when they're ready to stone him or throw him over a cliff? He just walks away because it's not his hour. It's not his time. Jesus going to his cross is free. And he is going to his cross because his Father has commanded this of him. He has asked this of him. Jesus is not a slave to his Father. He is the beloved son to his Father. A slave of a household has no choice. Jesus is a son, not a slave. And Jesus uses his freedom to choose to do the command of his Father, even though it means laying down his life. And another part in this dialogue in John, he makes it clear. He's like, the evil one is coming. The Lord of this world is coming to take me away. But I want you to be clear. He has no power over me. So important, my brothers and sisters, that we understand that Jesus's decision to go to his passion and cross is free, freely chosen by him. And because he chooses to do this action, there is love. There is love all over this, my brothers and sisters, because it is free. You know, the most important thing that the church does when it helps a person prepare for marriage, you know what the most important thing that the church is supposed to do is to make sure that the people who are entering into it are free. Have you come here without any reservation, without any qualifications to enter into this marriage? Yes. All of the questions on the prenuptial forms that they fill out for the church, it is all about freedom. Has anyone forced you into this? Do you feel any coercion of any kind? Do you feel unfree in any way? The importance of those questions is because we want marriage to be entered into freely so that love can be a part of it. If there's no freedom, there's no love. Right? We know that from the Garden of Eden. The people ask this the question, and I almost said silly question. It's a real question. Ask it all the time. Why did God create the other tree if he knew that Adam and Eve were going to choose it and they were going to sin and all these things? Why did he put it there? Because he needed their obedience, their relationship with him to be free. He needed them to be able to engage their freedom and to choose him, to choose the tree of life, not the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He needed the freedom because he wanted the relationship between humanity and himself to be love. So when Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, he is saying this because this is his approach to his Father. He does what his Father has asked him to do, even though it means a cross, even though it means suffering, and he freely chooses it as a beloved son and expresses his love for his Father in doing so. And he wants to take that relationship, and he wants his church, his beloved bride, to have that same relationship with his Father. He wants your response to the commands that Jesus gives to us. He wants your response to be free. So what does Jesus do? He comes, he destroys death. He gives to us the forgiveness of sins by his blood. We are washed clean in his baptism. We have all of the grace necessary for our lives. He pours the gift of his Holy Spirit within us. He does all of this for us so that we would be set free. Not to go back to sin and enslave ourselves, but then as free sons and daughters of God, we would be able to choose to pick up our cross and choose to follow after him. This is important. There are times when we believe that if we follow Jesus and do everything we're supposed to do, I went to church on Sunday, I don't know why I got in a car accident on Thursday. You ever started thinking like that? Bad stuff starts happening in your life and all of a sudden you're like, well, I don't know what God's doing. I said my prayers, or well, maybe I didn't say my prayers like I'm supposed to. And we just think of every bad thing that happens in life as a consequence of God just getting us and not being perfect enough. No, you guys never, well, it's really hard for me to see your reactions because you're all masked. But I'm sure you're actually like, oh yeah, Father, we get you, right? We don't want to get into this mentality. Our Father is a loving Father. There are two causes of suffering that can come into our life. The second reading highlights that. We can bring suffering into our life because of sin. The church has experienced that in a very real way. You speak very candidly of the last 10 years, the suffering in the church. Is that because of God, or is it because we're embracing the cross and we're evangelizing and so the church is suffering? Or is it because of our sin? The whole pedophilia thing, it's all sin. The suffering of the church because of our sin that needs to be brought into the light, exposed, stopped in every way. So there's two reasons for suffering. One, by our sin. And we can see in a perfect example in the last 10 years of the church, the suffering in the church. The second reason of suffering in the church is because we're proclaiming the gospel. We're proclaiming the good news. Jesus says that the advocate that I will give you, the paraclete, the lawyer, that's the technical term. I don't know how many people would be like, hey, we're getting a lawyer? What's up with that, right? We're getting an advocate, someone who stands beside us and bears witness and speaks the truth, the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit will be with us. And what does he say? He says, the world does not accept him. The Spirit of truth that God will put within us, the world does not accept. And so there will be suffering and rejection because the world cannot accept him. Because the Holy Spirit's not of the world. doesn't think the way that the world thinks. So the two ways of suffering. Suffering because of sin, and Peter says, don't do it. Just get rid of that in your life. Eliminate all of those things from your life. But he said, if we're suffering for the gospel, then blessed are you. Blessed are you if you are suffering for the gospel. Because that's what we're supposed to do. Because Jesus did it and we're imitating him. My brothers and sisters, if we imagine that our life, if the suffering that is a part of our life, if we imagine that it is simply God always punishing us, always doing something wrong, then we've missed it. If we are doing what we are supposed to do, we will suffer as well. But we will suffer for truth and the gospel message and freedom and life. It's important to understand this. Sometimes we believe that if we enter in, that Jesus suffers and we don't have to, and it's not a part of our life. That makes me sick when we think that way. I want to groan so deeply within. Because look at marriage. Look at marriage. All of the preparation leading up to marriage so that you are free. Why? Because we know that once you enter into it, it's going to be some suffering. Because wherever there is love, my brothers and sisters, there is a cross. Wherever there is love, there is a cross. When you give and you die a little of yourself in order to give yourself to another, there is a cross. Do you think of it that way? Well, maybe not every day because you love the person, right? Love seems to be like this beautiful frosting that I've been putting drywall up in the bathroom, you know, the drywall paste that covers a multitude of ripples and things, and you smooth it all out, and it's like, I can't even see where there was a, you know, 16 holes in the wall. Love is like that. Where there is love, there is a call to die to self. My brothers and sisters, what empowers the church to embrace this cross? Last point, I promise. What empowers the church to embrace that cross, to following Jesus? It is the promise of God's love being placed within us. Before Jesus began his public ministry, he received the gift of the Holy Spirit. He is God, and he receives God in order to go and to proclaim the good news. If Jesus wants his bride, the church, to go and proclaim the good news, then the gift of the Holy Spirit is what he is waiting for. Before they receive the gift, they're afraid. They're locked in the upper room. They're afraid they're going to be killed. They receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they run out in the streets and start proclaiming Jesus. What has happened? They have had an encounter with the incredible power and love of God in the Holy Spirit. And that is exactly the key for us as church. It was not enough for the people in Samaria simply to be baptized, to have their sins forgiven. And doesn't that sound ridiculous? It's not enough just to have their sins forgiven. Just to be reconciled with the Father by the waters of baptism, by the blood of the Lamb. The fullness of grace that God wanted to pour upon the church in Samaria was that they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So they sent for the apostles. The apostles came, they laid hands on them, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They encountered the Father's love. And because of that, they were ready to pick up their cross and follow after Jesus. There are a lot of people in the church, my brothers and sisters, who are like slaves. We have not yet encountered the love of God, and we look at the obligations of the church as so incredibly burdensome, so incredibly overwhelming, so incredibly enslaving. But the key is for us to encounter the love of God, to encounter the love of the Father, which is not intended to enslave, but to set us free. And so that invitation for us, this setting free by the Father's love, we will renew, we will celebrate this event. We call it Pentecost. This coming Sunday, we're going to celebrate the ascension of our Lord into heaven. So not Thursday, right? Even though it's Ascension Thursday, move it to Sunday so that you don't have to come to church one other day of the year, right? Heaven forbid, show up at church. So Sunday, we'll celebrate Jesus' ascension into heaven. And the next Sunday, we will celebrate him coming and giving the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon his bride, the church. So my invitation for you is, you've already received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You received it in baptism, received it in confirmation. It's renewed every time you receive the Eucharist. And as we come to this celebration, you have 2 weeks. Please try and prepare your hearts. If you've got a gift, a lot of times we take that gift and we never unwrap it, which seems silly because it's a present, right? First thing we want to do when we get a present is tear it open and have it a part of our life. So I invite you, as you prepare for Pentecost Sunday, give permission to God to open that gift of his love in your life. Give him permission to love you with the Father's abundant love that he desires to pour out upon you. The only risk, my brothers and sisters, is us asking, is looking like fools who are in love. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know those people, and you're like, oh my gosh, that one is so in love, they're an idiot, right? That's the big risk that we have, to be overwhelmed by the Father's love.